Hi everyone, if you haven't guessed already, I'm part of the Teens Ministry. So today's sermon is called Trusting in the Big Picture. And David and I have been given the privilege to speak up here for today. I'll be talking for the first point, and David over there will be coming up here to close it off. Before we get started, let's bow our heads down in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you that we could just gather here all together. It's really great just standing up here and seeing how many people are here to just, praise you and, just how grateful we are to be here and have you as our God. I pray that you can be with us, be with me and David as we preach, and I pray that the words we speak are your words. And pray that we'll have a great time for the rest of the day. I love you so much, God. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me to Genesis 22. I'm sure many of you have heard about the story of Abraham and Isaac. And before the story takes place, Abraham has a wife, Sarah, and she's barren and can't have children. And they've been trying for many years to have kids, and they couldn't. But, after a lot of patience and a lot of praying, God blesses them with a child. And this story takes place several years after Isaac is born. So, picking it up in Genesis 22, it reads, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you.' Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you.' Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, 'Father.' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'The fire and the wood are here,' Isaac said. 'But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.' Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.' And to this day it is said, 'On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.' The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, 'I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me.' Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba." This past year at Teens, we've been going through the theme called The Big Picture, and we look at how everything in the Old Testament leads to Jesus. It's really easy to separate Jesus or to restrict Jesus to just the New Testament, but this shouldn't be the case. When you go over the Old Testament and look for Jesus, you can actually find a lot of qualities and parallels of Jesus and hints towards what's to come in the New Testament. When planning the sermon, the first thing that we noticed was Abraham's trust in God. And so David and I will be looking at how we can learn to trust God better in our lives. And from the text, we think that there's two ways to trust God. And my first point is trusting God through our obedience. And David's point two, will be trusting God through our sacrifice. Yeah. So how do we see trust in this passage of text? We see Abraham's trust when he obeys God. Yeah, so point number one, trusting God through obedience. Obedience shows trust because it means you're submitting to what somebody knows to be better. But what does it mean to obey? Using our trusty friend Google, it reads, obedience is a compliance with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority. So before compliance, there has to be an order or request. In verse 2, it reads, "Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you.'" So this is God's request to Abraham. And what does Abraham do? Following on, in verse 3, it reads, "Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about." Notice how it says, early in the morning. The first thing Abraham did was straight away do what God told him to do. I love Saturdays. After a long week at school and like assignments, SACs, and studying, I look forward to Saturday because I can just like stay home, chill, watch anime, watch Netflix. Anyways, on Saturdays, right, my parents would usually go out. they'd usually go out and have work or spend time with people. And before they would leave, Mom would give us like a list of things to do before they got back home. And being the good son I am, like as soon as they left the house, I would get started straight away. No. if I knew that they were getting back at 8 o'clock, I would get started on my chores like at 6. But my siblings were a bit better though, you know. Like when my parents left, like soon after, they would actually get started. So yeah, at the end of the day, all of us did our chores. But who showed obedience? You know, in the same way, Abraham didn't put off God's command for him. If you go back to verse 3, you know, God doesn't give Abraham a deadline. He just says to do it. You know, Abraham could have easily been tempted to think, oh, God didn't give me a deadline. Let me just spend some time with my son first. Like, I'll do it next month or next year. Or like when I'm about to die. But you know, he chose to obey God and do it straight away early the next morning. You know, true obedience is an immediate response. You know, even more in verse 3, we read that Abraham loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac, and he had enough wood for the burnt offering. You know, because of these points, you know, you can see that Abraham absolutely intended to obey God. He prepared for the whole situation instead of doing it half-heartedly. Yeah, again, he could have made another excuse, you know, if God really wants me to sacrifice my son, he'll prepare everything. But he went all the way and brought the wood, brought a knife, you know. It's impossible to imagine how hard this would have been for Abraham. You know, for background context, like Abraham, you know, his wife was infertile, couldn't have any children. And for years and years, they've been trying. And then eventually, God blesses them with a child. And in this chapter, like a few years after, God is asking Abraham to just sacrifice him. But Abraham trusted in God because he knew that God is asking him to do the right thing, even if he would have thought differently. Obedience shows trust because it means you're submitting to what someone knows to be better. How many of you guys like spam? Put up your hands. That's kind of disappointing. I thought there'd be more. Well, anyways, right? There's a special technique to cooking spam, but I'll get onto that later. I'm at home, and I'm slicing up the spam, and I put it on the frying pan. I was really young at the time. I was 12, 13, and I've just been given, like, the stove privileges. I've never, like, really cooked before in my life. So when I'm cooking the spam, I put it on the frying pan, and I put it on a medium-low heat. And after 5 minutes, you know, I'm, like, looking at the spam, and it's, like, pink, and it's soggy, and no one likes soggy spam. And my dad, usually he's the one that does cooking, so when he's not home, we end up eating Spam. And my mom, since my mom would be home and my dad isn't, she's like the Spam cooking expert. And, you know, she knows how to give that Spam a good crunch. So I asked my mom, you know, why isn't the Spam getting cooked? And then she looks over and sees that the frying pan is on a low heat. And she tells me to put it on a higher heat. And I was still pretty scared because I was new to the Spam cooking experience. And I didn't want to burn the house down. But since my mom was a Spam expert, I trusted her and put it on high heat. You know, lo and behold, the Spam got crunchy. So if you guys want to know how to cook Spam, you know how to do it now. Yeah, so the main point of that story... There's a point to it. The main point of that story was to show that even if I was unsure about what my mom was telling me to do, my obedience to her showed that I trusted her. If I didn't obey my mom, I'd be showing that I didn't trust her. So how much do you say you trust God? Does your obedience to him show it? If you don't obey God, then you're showing that you don't trust him. You know, the challenge is that we tend to only obey God when things is easy, you know, when it's easy and convenient for us. But when life gets hard, we tend to think we know better, and we don't trust in God. The reason why Abraham's example of obedience was so great is because of how hard it would have been for him to obey. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, it reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." You know, notice how it says, in all your ways submit to him. Yeah. You know, not some of your ways. So what do you like with your obedience and trust in God? Do you trust in him in all areas and situations in your life? How is your obedience when it comes to fellowship? Do you miss out on fellowship when life gets busy? You know? Do you skip midweek or do you skip going to church because you have an upcoming exam or SAC or you have a shift to fill in? When we miss fellowship to study or go to work, we're trusting in our own ability instead of trusting in God. Yeah. But God asks us to seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6, verse 33. How is your obedience when it comes to fellowship? Encouraging other people. When you get discouraged or life gets hard, do you neglect others and focus on yourself? You know, it's important for us to take care of ourselves, but when it comes to the point that we neglect others and just become so consumed by ourselves, that's when it's not good. You know, Philippians 2 verse 4, you know, it says, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Galatians 6, verse 9, it reads, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Amen. So even if we are feeling discouraged, you know, we shouldn't give up, and we should focus on others while also working on ourselves. How is your obedience when it comes to forgiveness? Do you have a difficult relationship with somebody right now? Is there some conflict and bitterness from the past? Colossians 3, verse 13, you know, it reads, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Yeah. You know, we're called to forgive one another as God forgave us. And like I talked about earlier, we need to do this immediately like Abraham did, and not forgive someone at a later time. How is your obedience when it comes to evangelizing? You know, sometimes we make excuses or add unnecessary obstacles when sharing God's word. We say things like, "Oh, I need to build a deeper relationship with that person first," or "I'll invite them when the time is right." We can say things like, "I'm guilty of this. They live too far away. They wouldn't want to come." We make these excuses for them, and we're trusting in our own ability to get people to come to church instead of trusting in God. You know, these examples are what I struggle with the most. You know, getting tempted to miss out on fellowship, focusing on myself, bitterness from the past, and struggles with evangelizing. But there's definitely a lot more examples where it's hard for us to obey God. And in the same way that the things I struggled with might not necessarily apply to you, there are things that you struggle with that might not apply to me. So yeah, there's a lot of examples where it would be hard to obey God. So my point summarized, let's show God our trust in him through our obedience in all our ways, not some of our ways, especially in the hard times. And like Abraham, let's show our trust in God by making these changes in our life immediately and not putting it off for a later time.
Amen.
I'll get David to come up here and for a second thought.
Good morning, everyone. If you guys don't know my name is David. This is the first time ever I'm doing something like this, so I'm a bit nervous. But when I look over my parents, I think they're a bit more nervous than me. In the first point, we learned about Abram's obedience to God and his sacrifice. And I will be talking about how the test of Abraham revealed his heart and his trust in God. In Genesis 22, it narrates the beautiful story of Abraham's obedience and his sacrifice to God. So today, the second point is showing our trust to God by our sacrifice. So, what do you mean by sacrifice? Does sacrifice mean just giving something up? Or does sacrifice mean giving something up that is very valuable to you? I'd like to share a personal story to illustrate this. When we migrated to Australia, I was just 13 years old. As we were getting ready for this big move, we had to get rid of a lot of stuff. TVs, furniture, refrigerators, cars, you name it. I too had to get rid of stuff as well. My mom came up to me and she said, David, you had to get rid of all your soft toys. And I had no choice. I had to agree. I had a lot of toys. I remember carrying all of them to be given to needy children. The point I want to make is, I had a lot of toys, and I remember giving them all to needy children. I knew that I wouldn't be able to take them. I had a lot of toys, and I remember carrying all of them to give to needy children. But I didn't give away one toy. The toy meant so much to me. I was so emotionally attached to this toy. I'll show you a picture of the toy. Do you know who this cute little baby? That is David and his best friend Simpy, 18 years ago. I'll show you. This is Simpy. I had Simpy beside me every night when I went to bed. When I went to eat, I wouldn't even go to sleep without Simpy. Every family trip, Simpy would come with me. So can you guess what I did? I couldn't give Simpy to anyone, and I made sure that Simpy came with me to Australia with me. To be honest, 13 years of age is not an age to play with soft toys. But the fact was, Simpy was part of my life. The point I want to make today is, all the gifts that I gave away, can it be called a sacrifice? I don't think so. If I gave away Simpy, it would have been a sacrifice because it meant so much to me. And in this story, what was asked of Abraham was not to give away a soft toy, but to give up his one and only son, whom he loved so much. Just imagine how tough it must have been for him to give up his son, whom he had been waiting for 25 years. I do not understand, or I have no experience to know what it means for a father to give up his son. But I know it must be very, very hard. A very long story short, it was in a suicide attempt by a 2-year-old. I drank a whole bottle of Ventolin. Ventolin is asthma preventative. It is a very strong medicine. I gulped the whole bottle of Ventolin. And only a quarter of a teaspoon has been prescribed by a doctor once a day. My heartbeat has raced over 150 beats per minute. And no private hospital had accepted me, but sent me to the government hospital, as no incident of this nature had ever been reported before. My dad shared the struggle of having the thought of losing me and surrendering me to God. He tells me that it was the most difficult experience in his life. From this experience of him, I can just imagine how tough it must be for a father to even entertain the thought of losing his son. But in this story, we see how Abram faced his test and his faith in God. Abraham, the man we call the father of faith, was willing to let go of his one and only son, whom he had been waiting for so long. In the Bible it says, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah to sacrifice him. No questioning, no hesitation, and no regret. He wasn't disturbed by anything or anyone, but having his eyes fixed on the one who gave him his son in the first place. Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, and that showed his trust in God. Abraham knew that Isaac wasn't his, but that he belonged to God. And that helped him to sacrifice. He knew that God was in control of the whole situation. So, my dear brothers and sisters, how does this story today help us as disciples? In Christian life, we face various different types of tests, and the way we respond to them reveals our trust in God. Just like any other test, if we fail, we will have to take it again and again until we pass. So, what are some areas we are given the opportunity to show our trust towards God through sacrifice? How about the life we live as a disciple? In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, it commands us to offer our lives as a living sacrifice. The Word of God says that God delights in our sacrifice of ourselves, our thoughts, than our sacrifice of anything else. When it comes to our time, do we spend more time with disciples and to try to reach out? Do we have time to listen to our friends, brothers, sisters, and to be there for them and to try to encourage them? When it comes to our money, would we rather keep it for ourselves, or are we willing to give it to God and see what He can do with our money? The point is, God can do anything with or without our will. The true test of sacrifice is to reveal our hearts towards God, and it's an opportunity for us to draw closer to God. Unfortunately, that is not the way we see it when we are going through a test. But when we pass the test, it increases our faith and makes it easier for us to move forward in our Christian journey. Just like it was a test for Abraham, it's a test for us too, to see where our heart is and how much trust we have in God. When we pass the test of sacrifice, we will see how God would reward us, just as he rewarded Abraham. In Matthew 6 verse 34, true sacrifice to God means putting him first in everything we do. Once we have done that, sacrificing other things like hobbies, TV, work would be easier and much more meaningful. Pleasures and wants. Denying what we would rather do for the good of God's kingdom. So when I first started working, the only shifts I got was Friday evening and Sunday the whole day. And I really struggled, but I knew I had to say no. It was really hard. When I did, a couple of weeks later, I got more than 20 hours of work. Way more than I could handle. For me, this was an experience of a test and how God rewarded me. What makes it easier to make sacrifice for God? It is knowing that sacrificing God means returning back to the person who gave it all. And then knowing that God is the ultimate provider of every good thing. And finally, I would like to share the example of our God who sacrificed his loving son Jesus so that we could have an eternal life. I do not think it's a coincidence when God asked Abraham to go to Mount Moriah to sacrifice Isaac. It is believed that Mount Calvary, where Jesus was crucified, to be in the same region of Moriah, where Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac. A couple of thousand years later, God, the Father himself, takes his only son, whom he loved so much, to Mount Moriah to be crucified for our sins. In Genesis 22, Abraham didn't have to sacrifice Isaac. As Abraham was going to kill his son, God stopped him. But he didn't stop his son, who was going to be sacrificed for our sins on the Calvary cross. God showed the extent of his great love by allowing his precious son to be killed at the hand of sinful people so that we could have our sins forgiven and have a relationship with him. Too many of us, including me, think very lightly of our sins. Therefore, we think very lightly of Jesus as well. He was convicted from his own father to die for sins that he never committed so that we can be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Amen. Abraham's ultimate surrender to God made sure that there's no scratch to Isaac. It was a test to Abraham, and now it stands to each and every one of us to see if we have that faith. God wants us to bring all of us to ultimate surrender to him, without withholding anything. It is easier to let go of things when it doesn't mean much to us. But the real test comes when we are asked to let go of something that we really don't want to hold on, that we really want to hold on to. As disciples, there should not be anything we should be holding on to except God himself. So, my dear brothers and sisters, let us all make a decision not to withhold anything from God, but to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice so that God's name will be honored and glorified. To God be the glory. Amen. Yeah.